Okay, so we have another time now with Vajrasattva, although Vajrasattva has never left. Maybe we have in our minds. And we've done a lot already. We've done refuge, regret, purifying, the sufferings of body, so we can always take a moment to kind of enliven and refresh our practice by rejoicing in what we've already done. Lama Yeshe, I want to back up just a minute and say that when I do a practice for a long time, over a number of years, it can get, it goes in and out of being very enlivened and at times very like, just plodding along. And so often I'll go to the text to just kind of I keep thinking of the word enliven, but just really bring it back to life for myself, almost like the first time I kind of got it. And I did that to prepare for this talk. And for me, Lama Yeshe has that kind of a quality in his books. And he said something that really got into my heart, so I wanted to share it with you. People who practice purification are brave. I thought that was really sweet. And I look around at the 15 of us here and the 28 before, and there really is a kind of courage, you know, because this is not an easy thing to do. And I think of the people who I did the 90 days with in particular, and it's like climbing a very big mountain. And it's a really good analogy because it takes all that it would take to climb a very big mountain, that you have to have your buddies and you get really tired and you get really angry and you get really discouraged and you get really excited and you get really joyful, and you go through all of this and you need so much equipment and you need a really good leader and a great map. And so it really is that kind of courage to do these kind of practices in our hearts. So he says, people who practice purification are brave. They think, I can face and overcome this. I can accept it, regret it, and move forward. Purification works. So, words of encouragement from Lama Yeshe. So we're moving on now to purifying speech, and there's four kinds. There's lying, divisive speech, harsh speech, and idle talk or chatter. And I'm going to try to get through two of these today. So these are listed, Yangtze Rinpoche says in his book, Practicing the Path, in the order of kind of the most gross harm to people. So we'll start with lying. So the definition of lying is telling a lie or untruth to a specific person or about a specific subject matter with the wish to deceive. This can be verbal or, and this was interesting for me, I hadn't thought of so much, physical conduct that implies the lie. So, you know, we could think someone asks you something and maybe you know, but you kind of shrug and walk away. So that's saying, I don't know. You know, so it could be that kind of thing. It's completed when the other person understands what you've said. So the results of this one are pretty obviously the results similar to the cause. You're going to get lied to and you're going to be deceived. So that's probably not happened to any of you in your lives. But I had to look at that because you know, it's like, well, why did I get lied to? I always think of Geshe Sopa going, I'm innocent. And he's making fun of us, like trying to figure out, you know, why did that happen? I'm innocent. I especially had to think about this because this is one I tend to skip over to be completely truthful. I just go, oh, mine are harsh speech and idle chatter. I know those are mine. Now lying, let's just kind of, oh yeah, or sorry for that, and just kind of move on. And so I started thinking in preparing for this, why was that? And it led me to look at one of the ways that we can dig out some of this stuff that's not so right up on the surface is always return to your home of origin, this life, and you can say, well, what was going on there? And so that was an interesting thing, because my pretty strict Polish Catholic mother said to me so clear when I was about 4 years old, I'll always believe what you say, but the first time you lie, I'll never believe you again. You will get a spanking, you will have Tabasco sauce put on your tongue, and you will go to hell eternally. Well, this would cause a person to avoid not only lying, but avoid the whole topic. It was like, okay, Mom, I don't lie. And I think that's the story I've told myself all along, is I don't lie. But then I had this other message, and I'm putting these forth partly because they're funny and because they're true, but also so you can see, you know, this is how you go at it. So then I thought, well, what was my dad saying? So my dad was more this sort of soft, funny Irish Catholic guy. And he said, well, Irish people don't lie. We just kind of exaggerate to make a story a little better. And so I've got my mom and my dad, and then later my brother saying to me, or it might have been my sister, I don't know which one, saying, well, if the Nazis come to the door and we're hiding Jews, you're not going to tell them that you are hiding Jews, are you? And it was like, no, well, that's a lie. Oh man, I'm very confused about this. So this was good, because I'm digging at it, you know, and going, okay, that confusion now, where does that lead? Where does it lead me? And what I see is it leads me to skip over it. It's like, I don't do this, I don't need to look at it, and I don't even really know how to look at it. And so that's what I'm playing with. And I use the word playing lightly, because it's really heavy work I'm looking at now. Okay, I did get lied to in this life, so there's something going on there. Let's see. Okay, the other thing, and I don't know which teacher this came from, or even maybe one of the Dharma friends here, is when you get stuck on something, just break your life up into periods, like, okay, 0 to 5, what was going on about lying then, 5 to 10 years old, 10 to 15 years old, oh, now I can start seeing at 15 years old sneaking cigarettes, you know, going places that were forbidden. What was I saying when I got back home, you know? Interesting. So, but I wasn't lying. Because I know where that would lead. Okay. Well, anyway, moving on to the second one is divisive speech. And this is speech that divides people from one another and instigates or intensifies disharmony. So this also could be interfering with people who are about to reconcile. And you can see I did a lot of divorce mediation, so I really could see this one and others, of course. But like, you know, lying about, oh, they're going to get together, and then the person doing the affair doesn't want that to happen, and so all these kind of rumors start going around. And interesting thing about this is what you say could be true or false, pleasant or unpleasant. That doesn't matter if it's true or false. It goes back to the other problem of lying. But it could still be divisive speech, even if it's true and even if it's pleasant. So I started looking at these. Just to point out, too, that Venerable in one of her talks pointed out that jealousy is often the main motivation for this one. You're trying to carve people away from each other because you kind of want them to like you and not like that one so much. And she said our self-centeredness makes us burn with jealousy, so we engage in this kind of speech. So I was thinking how subtle this can get, and I watched this pattern in my cell, and I throw it out there just for you to see if you do this too. Because this could be very gross, you know, like divisive, like he's a liar, he's a this, he's a that, you know, and you're just plain trying to divide them. You're not, if you had the motivation to help protect the person and you're telling something true without anger, that's different. But this motivation is this dividing them up. And so I find myself doing this in a sneaky way, which I suspect is some of the lying stuff too. And I'll say something like, you know, I really, really like X, the person. And then I say, but did you know what they did? And then I'm off going, you know. And it's just a little kind of unpleasant, dicky thing. But what's the purpose? What's the purpose of doing that? And so I'm really trying to catch and look at that right now. So the results of this divisive speech are, and again, if we looked at the karmic results and those have happened to us, then we have this problem to purify. So the result of this one is you're separated from those you like constantly by disputes, and you're inclined to continue divisive speech. So that's a really intense one to look at. You know, if we look at our families, like, are any of us separated from them by disputes? You know, not that we chose to be here, but how are they taking that? So, or are we separated from anybody we really love and care about by disputes? Also, this environmental karma, you'll be born where the ground is very rough and uneven. So how does Vajrasattva help us purify this one? This one is interesting because the light of Vajrasattva and this beautiful nectar floods down. And by the way, again, looking at Lama Yeshe, he was just saying this comes down at times. I was thinking how this must be very, again, a way to enliven things, to look at sometimes a gentle kind of shower internally and externally, but at times with something that's really tough and habitual and destructive, he says it's a waterfall. It's like a nuclear waterfall. It's just whoosh. So, you know, in this one, you get that all down to the very soles of your feet, and it comes back up as very pure, pure nectar and light, and everything about the impure speech comes out of mouth, nose, eyes, ears. And one text I read said even out of the crown chakra, although I had not seen that before. And that was in Lama Yeshe's too. So I've also not had Venerable describe it that way, but definitely out of all the openings in the head. And you just let it flow. The disturbing attitudes are just coming out, and they're this really dark liquid of any kind. This is liquid tar, and the light and nectar is filling you, and it's just floating all this up to the top and out. And then, again, what Lama Yeshe says in closing, he says, and also Lati Rinpoche, everybody says this, it's very important to generate the conviction that you have actually purified this suffering. Just keep saying that to yourself, because your doubt can cause you, after all this work, to just backtrack, and there's no need for that. So in conclusion, because we have some nice snow still here, and we've been getting snow, I want to read a quote from Geshe Sopa. And he was talking about how can we remove this poison from ourselves. And one of the ways is recitations. And he says, he quotes a sutra called the Tantra requested by Subahu. Just as the rays of the sun striking the snow melt it with irresistible brilliance, the snow of non-virtuous action melts away when struck by the rays of the sun of, number one, ethical conduct. Number two, recitation, applied diligently from the heart.